Hallelujah. For those that have pens and pads and would like to write some notes today, the title of this message is my father still alive? Turn to your neighbor and say, is my father still alive? And the text is in Genesis 45. Genesis chapter 45, verse 3. Actually, I'll start from verse 1. Then Joseph, is everybody there? I don't want to lose anybody. If you're there, say amen. Amen. All right. Then Joseph could not contain himself before all who stood by him. And he cried out, make everyone go out from me. So no one stood with him while Joseph made himself known to his brothers. And he wept aloud, and the Egyptians in the house of the Pharaohs heard it. Then Joseph said to his brothers, I am Joseph. Does my father still live? But his brothers could not answer him, for they were dismayed in his presence. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Does my father still live? Joseph, though history, was in Egypt, a long way from home in Hebron, east of the Jordan. And I've been meditating on this verse and a couple of verses that I'm going to share before, because there's been this topic of immigration and how it affects each and every one of us. I know that they're campaigning and everything is going on. But what's amazing is in Hebron, it was a part of the six cities of refuge. Hallelujah. And when I was reading about the six cities, I noticed that even here in America, I'm from Kenya. For those who probably don't know, you probably see my forehead. So you already know I'm not from around here. I might try to speak like I'm from around here, but this clearly gives me out. So it was a refuge city. And God today is telling me to tell somebody in here that he is your refuge. Hallelujah. He is your refuge. No matter what you're going through this morning, he is your refuge. Now, this refuge cities in Israel used to be for people who, say, for example, somebody had cut a tree and it fell on somebody and they died. It's accidental death. But in this city, and it was strategically set so that it would only take a day or less to get to this city, so that you would await trial, so that the avenger, the next of kin of whoever you killed, would not get to you before your trial would be. So this is one of the cities, Hebron, that people would go. So now, but that's it. If you want to read more about it, that's in Joshua, verse 20, 1 all the way to 9. Hallelujah. So I go from the beginning, which is, if we can go back, if you have your Bible, let's go back to the beginning of when Joseph, that's in chapter 37, verse 2. Hallelujah. Are you staying with me? All right. So now I'm going to show you something. I've read this part so many times, but I never saw this part. So now Israel, chapter 37, verse 3. Now Israel loved Joseph more than all his children because he was the son of his old age. Also, he made him a tunic of many colors. Now go back to 2. This is the history of Jacob, Joseph being 17 years old when he was feeding this flock with his brothers. And the lad was with the sons of Bilhah and the sons of Zilpah, his father's wives. And Joseph brought a bad report of them to his father. As I was going through it, it seems as if I missed that last part of verse 2. It says, Joseph brought a bad report of them to the father. I always thought it was the coat that made them so mad. Hallelujah. We have parents in here, right? How do we reward our kids and how do we discipline our kids? I mean, we go through this, me and my wife, so many times, and I always say that treat them the same. Because if one does better than the other, treat them always the same. But in this case, is this poor parenting or is it just God's plan? He gives Joseph a coat, a tunic of many colors. Now, if you are Joseph's brothers and you come from, I know they're in a desert and they have to deal with goats and everything else, and you come and you find your father just gave this guy that doesn't go with the flocks, he stays home. He stays home with the father. And you walk in and this guy got a coat of many colors, and you have nothing but the sun to show off your efforts. I mean, I would be mad too. But going back to 2, it says Joseph brought a bad report of them to his father. So the cause and effect is the brothers were not peaceable with him. Every time they would see him, they would say, oh, here comes Joseph. Here comes the snitch. Here comes the guy who's always talking about us. Look at him. Salt to injury comes. Verse 5. Now Joseph had a dream and told it to his brothers, and they hated him even more. I mean, come on, Joseph, you just got a coat and now you're dreaming. Now you're telling them, hey, I'm dreaming. And as we continue on 6, he says, please hear my dream which I've dreamed. There we were, binding sheaves in the field. Then behold, my sheaf arose and also stood upright. And indeed, your sheaves stood all around and bowed down to my sheaf. And his brother said to him, shall you indeed reign over us? I mean, if I was one of the brothers, I'd say, this guy has a coat. And then now he has a dream talking about, like, we are going to bow before him. Something is wrong. Something is wrong with this guy. But he goes beyond and says, then he dreamed still another dream and told his brothers, look, I have dreamed another dream. And this time, not just here, but the stars, right? The sun, the moon, and 11 stars bowed down to him. So even he told his brother, his father, and his father rebuked him. When at first he was talking about the sheaves and his brothers bowing down to him, father never had a problem. But when he said even the sun and everything else in the galaxy was going to bow down to him, his father rebuked him. The same father that gave him the coat. But it was okay to give him the coat as long as he was still on top. As long as he was still his father. As long as he was still the authority. How many times has it happened that when you share your purpose, when you share your dream, when you share what God has called you to do, people always get so violent. People get so rude to you. But it's because they don't understand the purpose which God has called you. So instead of you focusing on the purpose that God has called somebody, why don't you focus on what God has called you to do? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. See, the brothers had a problem with bowing down to him. But little didn't they know that he was going to save them later on. Hallelujah. Someone who you're going to meet. Someone who is going to be your boss at work. Might just be your key, your door to your future. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Before I forget, I'm thankful that Pastor Beth, you came. Thank you. I'd like to honor you. I work with Pastor Beth, and she's always watching. And I always like the fact that she comes down, she passes my office, and gives me a word. Even when they don't need to hear the word, she still comes and says it. So I'm thankful for that. Hallelujah. So Joseph tells them he has not one, but two dreams. And he has a coat. So the brothers say, this guy has to go. This guy has to die. In our lives, are people that have been promoted in front of us, are people that have been anointed more than us or before us, are there people that sing better than us, are people that seem that can do worship better than us, are there people that who are better at leading but better than us? What is our reaction to them? See, Joseph didn't care what people said. He just was worried about his father, heavenly father and earthly father. Hallelujah. Because as we see in verse 45, chapter 3, he doesn't think of how he was sold. He was put in a pit. He doesn't think of how he was sold to the Midianites who sold him to the Ishmaelites. He's not worried about after that he was sold in Potiphar's house. He's not worried about that. He's not even worried about that he went to prison. All he was worried about is my father still alive. Hallelujah. In your discouragement today, in your disease today, in your disappointment today, in whatever that it is that you're going through your life, I'm here to tell you, is your father still alive? As hard as the situation might be, there's only one thing that counts. Is God working in your life? You might have a terminal disease. You might have immigration problems. You might be divorced, on the verge of divorce. Your ministry might be on the verge of collapsing. You might be a wreck in drugs. But I want to tell you one thing. One question you should always ask. One question that's always built your faith. Is my father still alive? Is my father still working in me? And are people seeing him working in me? Hallelujah. See, I'm here to preach to people who have toiled through the week. I'm here to preach to people who are prayed all week. I'm here to preach to people who are in expectation today. I'm not here to preach to people who are just going to see how I'm going to pronounce my words, maybe how I'm going to flip the scriptures to my own benefit. I'm here for those who seek him day and night. I'm here for those that have said, I will not stop. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Is my father still alive? So Joseph gets sent. His father pulls him up and tells him, go see what your brothers are doing. So as an obedient son, he goes. And as he's going, part of the scripture that caught me was a certain man met him and told him, because where he thought his brothers were, they were not there. But there was always in the Bible, for those avid readers of the Bible, haven't you always noticed there's always a certain man? Who's with me? There's always a certain man, no name, a certain man, right? So the certain man told him, they're down there. Go see him. So they see him coming and devise a plan. We shall kill him. But Reuben says, don't kill him. I think this is in verse 22. If you're staying with me, chapter 37, verse 22. Reuben said, shed no blood, but cast him into this pit, which is the wilderness, and do not lay a hand on him, that he might deliver him out in their hands and bring him back to his father. See, Reuben had a plan. Reuben was going to tell them to put him in the pit, and then when everybody was gone, he's going to come and rescue him. But everybody thought that Reuben just was a part of the plan. But then, I don't know where Reuben went, but Judah said to his brothers, What profit is there if we kill our brother and conceal his blood? Come, let us sell him to the Ishmaelites, and let not our hands be upon him, for he is our brother in our flesh. And his brothers listened. Then as the Midianite traders passed by, so the brothers pulled Joseph up and lifted him out of the pit and sold him to the Ishmaelites for 20 shekels of silver. And they took Joseph to Egypt. 20 shekels selling their brother. 30 shekels Jesus was sold. Hallelujah. Somebody got that one. You see, your anointing determines your persecution. Your anointing accelerates your persecution. See, some people are glad to be anointed. And when they find out, they're saying, wow, it's going to be, I'm going to be the best prophet. I'm going to be the best pastor. I'm going to be the best preacher and speaker. And then tragedy strikes. And then it's not what you thought it was. See, there's this thing in the media and in mainstream that makes us feel like the ministry is all a bed of roses. That ministry is, we say in Swahili, kuja kwa Yesu kila kitu itakuwa sawa. That message is still going on. But what happens when you come to Jesus and everything turns? What happens when you come to Jesus and you lose your spouse? What happens when you come to Jesus, your business fails? What happens when you come to Jesus and you're sick? You were fine until you met Jesus. But the gospel, according to some, is you meet Jesus and everything is fine. But what if when you meet him is when everything starts breaking down? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I mean, I don't know about you, but me, before I was converted, before I believed in Jesus, before I was brought into ministry, I would say that I didn't deal with half the stuff that I deal with now. Honestly. Hallelujah. Seems like you guys have the best time in ministry. You guys have the best time. You, once you met Jesus, everything was good. You know, everything was a straight road. But me, no, it was not. Seems like temptations were everywhere. I was tested in everything. Hallelujah. So now Joseph is obedient to his father. But in his obedience, his brothers now are selling him to the Ishmaelites. But Joseph does not complain because he knows what God is doing. He knows that God promised Abraham that he will be with him until the promise is fulfilled. Hallelujah. I'm here for people who know that God is not done with you until he fulfills the promise that he laid in your life. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. He's not done with you. If he promised you something, he will finish it. Amen. So Joseph now is in the carriage. They go into Egypt. And now he's being sold as a slave. I mean, if you're Joseph, first of all, your brothers took your coat. I'd be mad. A coat of many colors. And then now you have to leave your hometown. Now you're a slave. From your father's apple, now you're a slave. And he's sold to Potiphar's house. But do you know, hallelujah, hallelujah, at Potiphar's house, Joseph became the overseer. Hallelujah, hallelujah. This tells me that no matter where God is going to put me, I shall prosper. Whether he puts me, whether disease comes to me, I will prosper. Whether whatever situation that I might be going through, I will prosper. See, in Potiphar's house, Joseph becomes the overseer. And the Bible says, if I can turn to it. So it was, this is chapter 39, verse 5. So he says, so it was from the time that he made him overseer of his house and all that he had, that the Lord blessed the Egyptian's house for Joseph's sake. Hallelujah. And the blessing of the Lord was all that he had in the house and in the field. Thus he left all that he had in Joseph's hand, and he did not know what he had except for the bread which he ate. Now Joseph was handsome. Well, that's another one. You won't get to that. But what I'm going to is, you're blessed. I heard there's a young brother that's going through. I didn't look behind. I didn't see who he was that is going through some problems. But I'm here to tell you that God is with you. Whatever promise that he laid on your life, he will not leave you until it is done. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Anyone in here, you can see where Joseph is at in his life. You can see where you are in your life. It has me, I don't know about you, I haven't got there yet. There's still things that I struggle with. There's still things that I think that I can do better. But what God is telling me here is that I am with you. I am alive. I am working in you. Sometimes we beat ourselves so much when we try to compare ourselves with other believers. But you don't know what the other believer is going through. See, most of us don't say the truth. They don't say what this life is all about. And when you get in and you're struggling and you're seeing other people, they are saying hallelujah, they're saying praise the Lord. And you're saying, how come these people are perfect and I'm imperfect? Hallelujah. Joseph is in Potiphar's house. Joseph is still obedient to God. Joseph knows his purpose. There's always something when but comes. And this is weird because the but was actually not where it was supposed to be. But he was handsome. He was handsome. What is wrong with that? What is wrong with that? He was handsome. I'm glad I'm not handsome. Because what was getting ready to happen? All right. Thus he left all he had in Joseph's hand. Now Joseph was handsome in form and appearance. Wish we had a picture of Joseph. Just like because they had to put it in there. Like, you know, I don't know if Potiphar's wife, if you'd really have got him if he was ugly. I don't know. Did he have to be handsome? I mean, anyway, that's for another day. Maybe I'll see him in heaven, you know? And it came to pass after the things that his master's wife cast longing eyes on Joseph, and she said, lie with me. But he refused and said to the master's wife, look, my master does not know what is with me in the house, and he has committed all that he has to my hand. There is none greater in the house than I, nor has he kept back anything from me but you, because you are his wife. How then can I do this great wickedness and sin against God? Hallelujah. How did Joseph know that lying with this woman was a sin against God, and yet Moses came way after him? Hallelujah. Am I the only one that missed that? How did he know this was a sin against God? The Spirit bears witness, testifies against things that may and that may not be. Hallelujah. For my avid Bible scholars, and I know we have quite a lot in here, his spirit was on Joseph. And it's the spirit that searches from God. And this is the amazing thing of having the Holy Spirit in your life. There's some things that we might not know. But the Spirit gives us the knowledge. The Spirit imparts things in us that we would have not known based on our circumstances. Hallelujah. His promise is you will not get tested beyond. Hallelujah. My grace is sufficient. Is my Father still alive? So now we go back to Joseph. So he holds up back day one. Looks like as if it goes another day and day by day. Now I'm thinking, if I was Joseph, would I have just left the house? Because if temptation is with you day and day, don't we always feel like maybe I can separate myself from this temptation? But I remember there's a verse that says, resist the devil and he will flee from you. Hallelujah. It doesn't say run from the devil. Maybe he run better than you, but it says resist. Hallelujah. And the devil will flee. So it happened about this time that when Joseph went to the house to do his work, none of the men were inside. Hallelujah. None of the men were inside. My personal testimony, the hardest times of temptation, the hardest times where I've been tempted to my limit is when I was alone. It's when you're in that prayer closet by your own. It's when you're at work by yourself. It's when there's nobody around that is looking. It's when pastor is not in my rear view or in my front view. That is the time that I get tested. When you're flipping through the channels at home by yourself and none of my men brothers are there with me. So let me see what this is about. That's when temptation comes. Jesus was in the desert. Elijah was in the cave. Hallelujah. When you're by yourself. So Joseph fled and ran. And so it was when she saw that he had left his garment in her hand, fled outside, that she called to the men in the house and said, hey, he has brought this Hebrew to mock us. He came in to lie with me, and I could not with a loud voice. And it happened when he heard that I lifted my voice and cried out that he left his garment with me and fled and went outside. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Does temptation build us? Does it make us stronger? Even though Jesus had false witnesses, there was no testimony. Hallelujah. In Mark chapter 16, I think verse 42, the Pharisees were always trying to get Jesus under false testimony. And a false witness, but there was testimony. So I said, what's the difference between a false witness and false testimony? And I went deep, and it says a testimony is between one, two, and three people. The rabbis, when they used to call people, you had to have witnesses, testimonies, or people to put you in jail. But thank God that there's nothing that no one can say about you. If God is for you, God is going to take you out from that situation that you're in. No matter what people have said against you, no matter what people think, even if they have credible evidence on you, just know that he is also a witness. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I'm here for that discouraged person in here. I'm here for that who is depressed in here. I'm here for those who are seeking the Lord. There's something in your life that has bothered you. Maybe you're asking yourself like Joseph is asking, is my father still alive? Is God working through my life? Joseph seems like he's going from trouble to trouble, from drama to drama. Does it feel like sometimes you're going through stuff and it never stops? Like after one temptation, you win a battle. It's like you enter another battle. After you win that battle, it's another greater battle. Hallelujah. But Joseph was obedient. He was humble. He knew his purpose. There's power when you know your purpose. Because even when the winds come by, I remember Dr. Lillian preached about winds and storms that come at various times in our lives. But unless you understand your purpose, you will be carried away by that storm. Hallelujah. Joseph is in prison. What a turn of events. He was in a house, cool. Now he's in a prison, accused falsely. Of course, he had a false witness on him. I don't know if anybody has seen, there was a Netflix special about the Central Park Five. I don't know if anybody has watched it. And it's the story of five boys in Brooklyn. They are accused falsely by the DA that they had raped a woman in New York. And there's the youngest one whose name was Corey Wise, who was sentenced to 11 years. And I'm thinking what he felt in jail, falsely accused. And I can relate to that story because you can see it in Joseph. Joseph did not lie, did not sleep with his woman, but he was falsely accused. And he went to jail. But never do we read anywhere that he accused Potiphar's wife. Hallelujah. Our accusers may plot. Our accusers may plan for our downfall. But what they don't know is that God is in control. Is that God is only using them as stepping blocks for us for our greater glory. See, Potiphar's wife didn't know that he was taking Joseph to the king. He didn't know that. She didn't know that. His brothers didn't know he was stamping his passport to go to the king. He was going closer to the king. With every situation he was going through, there's someone who's going to get it today. That whatever situation that you're in, you're just stepping into your purpose. Hallelujah. So what? You have a disease. So what? Your husband left you. So what? Your ministry died. But you don't know. Maybe that ministry that is closing today is opening up internationally for you. Maybe that husband that left you because they thought you were too spiritual was just opening up for that Joseph to come in your life. Hallelujah. A stepping stone. He was handsome. A stepping stone. Hallelujah. I know I've taken you all out of context. I know you've heard about Joseph and the dreamer. He had a dream and how we preached it like you should have a dream and God will bless you. And it's true. But I want to show you how a story of forgiveness, a story of perseverance that we can take from Joseph into our situation. Verse 21. But the Lord was his Joseph and showed him mercy, and he gave him favor in the sight of the keeper of the prison. I mean, I know his brother was saying, can't catch a break. This guy is the overseer of Potiphar's house. The wife comes and puts him in prison, and then in prison, he's kept charge over the prison. Hallelujah. There's nothing they can do to him. When God is with you, it doesn't matter what you go through. It doesn't matter where you at. It doesn't matter what financial position you are. When God is with you, whether you're in the pit, whether you're in Potiphar's house, whether you're in jail, he makes you number one. He makes you the overseer. He makes you in charge. He makes those who have put you in charge don't even think of anything but what they put in their belly. in that scripture. Hallelujah. Joseph's in prison, overseeing people. He's relaxing. Well, I'm not going to say relaxing because jail, you don't get to relax. You know, I mean, I could only imagine the prisons back then. America got good prisons. Not that saying that I want to go there, but you've got good stuff over here. Like in Africa, you know, it's just a different thing, mud and everything. And, you know, but so I was thinking he was just lying down somewhere in the mud with chains and everything. And two guys there. There's the baker and the butler in jail together. And God had given Joseph a dream and tells his brothers. And he gets hated on. And they sell him. And now he's thinking, wait a minute, can hear somebody here who has a dream. Should I say it? I mean, I don't want to go through all I've been going through. But hey, let's give it a shot. So the baker tells him his dream. And the butler, I don't want to go through it. I don't have enough time. But maybe I might touch towards the end. But he says, one thing that Joseph said and it struck me was, do not interpretations belong to God? Tell them to me, please. See, sometimes me and my wife, we watching documentaries of great worship leaders and great pastors, and they're always saying, you know, it's preparation. You know, I had to read the Bible. I had to go to this mountain for 40 days, and I'm without food and all this stuff. And I'm thinking to my wife, I mean, I don't know how I'm going to do this. You know, I'm not getting ready to do 40 days. But anyway, some people have been given the grace. But here, Joseph says, do not interpretations belong to God. Worship team, do not worship come directly from the Father. You're just a reflection of what the Father gave you. So when you sing here, when you say the worship was great, it was just God was in his fullness while they were here. Hallelujah. So Joseph said, it is not my gift. It is what God is using through me. And he goes ahead and interprets the dream. And unfortunately, one person's dream was going to turn out to his death. But still, interpreted the dream. So they continue. And the baker was hanged. I don't know any other way I would have summarized that part of the scripture, but the baker was hanged. And the butler, he had told him to remember him, but he forgot him. But it came to pass at the end of 2 full years that Pharaoh had a dream. And behold, it stood by the river. Suddenly came up, goes all the way, slept again, had a dream. And it came to pass, they called all the magicians, all the Dr. Cleos. Y'all remember Dr. Cleo? Okay. He calls everybody. Calls all the wise guys. He called the national security advisor. He calls every single person. He calls the mayor, everybody. Come here, I got a dream, and it's bugging me, it's messing me up. What's going to happen? Nobody has anything. So the butler remembers there's a guy in prison. The butler remembers there's Lucas one day in KCFA. There's Dr. Lillian one day in KCFA that preached a message. Call her. Let me call him. If you're missing it, I'm saying that there's somebody that's going to remember your name somewhere. Hallelujah. Keep serving God in his fullness and keep serving you in obedience and faithfulness. There is somebody that is going to remember you. Just because it hasn't happened doesn't mean it's not going to happen. Hallelujah. Joseph was 30 years old when he stood next to the Pharaoh. He was 17 when he left his father's house. Hallelujah. I was 17 when I left Kenya. I ain't going to tell you my age. Sorry. I know y'all waiting. Wait. It's going to say it. Say it the other day. God gave Joseph, stay with me now, gave Joseph a dream 17 years old, right? He is 30 years old, right? Jesus goes to the temple when he's 12 years old. Hallelujah. Jesus starts ministry at 30 years old. Are we seeing something? Jesus is God. He would have just started a ministry at 12. But there's something in the supernatural that is tied to time. There's something about time and how God works. Yes, he's outside of time. But even the word says there's a time of sorrow. There's a time of happiness. There's a time to seed. There's a time to harvest. And his time had come. Hallelujah. He was 30 years old. I mean, they had to go get him from the prison. They said, it's there. Just can't go to the exact verse. They shaved him. They put him new clothes. He had to go to the king. They came. I know that day had to be a good day. And I'm telling you, that day will happen to you one of these days. The guy was sitting in despair and discouragement. He was so disappointed that the butler had forgotten about him. But lo and behold, they opened the doors and say, it's time, Mr. Dreamer. It's time for you to interpret this dream. They cut his hair. They put those clothes on him. Little did he know that today he was jailed, that tomorrow he would be the father of Pharaoh. Hallelujah. You guys are not getting this. Transformation in one day. When your time has come, your time will come. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Dr. Lillian came and said, hey, if you want to go preach in Finland, there's doors. There's doors. The time has come. This time has come for us to stop sitting on the pews and start going out and preach. Gave 5 minutes telling us what to do, but it was Joseph's time to shine. It was Joseph's time to preach. It was Joseph's time to interpret the dream. And when he goes into Pharaoh after everything, he does not forget who he is. Because the first thing that he says to Pharaoh is, don't interpretations belong to God? I will interpret your dream. He still gives God the praise. He still worships God in that moment because he would take the opportunity and say that it is because I was gifted. It is because I sat down and I knew about stars or I read a book about prophecy or I read a book about interpreting dreams. But he said, don't interpretations belong to God in your life. Your life belongs to God. So you should never be ashamed of who you are. You should never be ashamed at the position where you are right now. Because it all belongs to God. We always say when somebody dies, God is in control. Hallelujah. Nothing should catch us unaware. It was Joseph's time to shine. And he goes and interprets the dream and is given a gold chain. Are we seeing something here? The father gives him a coat, a nice coat. Now the Pharaoh is giving him a coat and a gold chain is there. He's being restored. See, what you have lost, saints, is going to get restored. Hallelujah. What you have lost in this time that you think that which you thought that cannot be restored, whether it is your health,
whether it is your marriage, whether it is whatever, just put anything on that dash, it will be restored. Hallelujah. God is into restoring Baltimore City. I don't care what the media says. The problem we have in Baltimore is not guns. The problem we have in Baltimore is not youth who don't know any better. The problem is forgiveness. Hallelujah. And we, as ministers of forgiveness, we need to reach this young men. I've sat down with friends of mine that are deep in the gang culture. And the problem is, 15 years, somebody shot somebody here, and they went and shot somebody there. And from that day, they've been killing each other. It's not a Democrat thing, and it's not a Republican thing. It's a forgiveness thing. Hallelujah. Let's not even put it in there. Even in church, we are separated because we cannot forgive each other. Pastors cannot talk to each other because they cannot forgive each other for something that happened 20 years ago. Hallelujah. What some believer did to you, maybe it was an error. They don't even know. But you keep it. When Joseph became the father of Pharaoh, the second in command in Egypt, and there was a great famine, there was a great drought. They needed food. Scripture says that his brothers were coming there, and he could recognize his brothers, but they couldn't recognize him. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. God has changed some of you that even your old enemies cannot recognize anymore. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Some people, when they see you these days, they cannot recognize you. Is that Beth? Is that Terry? They cannot see you. When you forgive people, it shows. When you forgive people, they cannot remember, but you can. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. They cannot recognize Joseph. Joseph was the ruler of Egypt. I wonder where Potiphar's wife was. Because I know, if I was the ruler of Egypt, the first thing I sign into law is Potiphar's wife goes to jail. That lady lied on me. But he was a forgiven person. And this is who we are called to be, forgivers of each other. We are told to live at peace with each other. And I think maturity in the Christian life is growth in forgiveness, because that's what really Jesus came to do in this earth. He came to forgive everyone, regardless of what you did, regardless of what you have done to this moment. I don't care if you did it a minute ago. Jesus is saying you are forgivable. There's messages out there that says that you cannot be forgiven. There's messages that say that this sin is horrible, that you might need to see people. But God is saying that you are forgivable. Hallelujah. Joseph puts cups when they come for food. He puts stuff in their bags so they can come back. And I think he was getting them back, but I mean, the guys come and they pay for the food, and he puts a cup so they can come back. He's really getting into them. So eventually, when his brothers come back for the last time, and we go back to verse chapter 45, it says Joseph could not restrain himself before all those who stood by him. Then he cried out, "Make everyone go out from me." So no one stood with him while Joseph made himself known to his brothers. And he wept aloud, and the Egyptians in the house of Pharaoh heard it. Then Joseph said to his brothers, now this is the beautiful thing about this verse, is that he didn't say, I am Joseph, the guy you sold. I am Joseph, the one you betrayed. I am Joseph, the one you did this to. I am Joseph. Only thing that was in his mind was, is my father still alive? Is my father who gave me that coat, is he still alive? I don't care what you did to me. I forgave you. Is my father still alive? Do we have people in our lives who we want to say, is my father still alive? Yes, you might have hurt me last year. You must have hurt me 5 years ago. I mean, I don't know how far people go with their beefs. Some people can stay 20 years, 15 years. They're not talking to somebody because of something that happened back in the day. Joseph have guys that wanted to kill him. They put him in a pit. I mean, brothers put him in a pit, sold him. And the only thing he's concerned about is my father still alive? I'm trying to talk to somebody that hasn't talked to a family member. I'm talking to somebody that hasn't talked to their former pastor. I'm talking to somebody who hasn't talked to someone that hurt him back in the day. But I'm here to challenge you that if it wasn't for that person, you wouldn't be where you are. See, what they meant for bad was actually meant for your good. Hallelujah. What they thought it was going to be bad for you, God turned it into good for you. Little did they know that when God has a purpose in your life, when you are living in his providence, or you are living in him, that everything that looks bad to people is actually good to you. Hallelujah. We must change how we view things. Paul says, renew your mind daily. So that little things that people do, you understand that they do not know what they do. Jesus hang on the cross, and what did he say? Forgive him, Lord, because they do not know what they do. In closing, I don't know where you are in your life. I don't know who has hurt you. I don't know what situation you're going through. I don't know what God is actually saying to you right now, but one thing is clear. He's saying that I am alive. I am alive, son. I am alive, daughter. I am alive. Your time has not come yet, but it is coming. Have faith in me. Joseph shows us a story of perseverance, forgiveness, to the point where, regardless of whatever happened in his life, the only thing he thought about was his father in him? Was his father still alive? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Should I say the end, or? Let's pray. Thank God for the message.